What's up, y'all? This is Dave.
And this is Devin.
And you're listening to the Dave and Dev podcast. Dave and Dev. Gotta keep it real like Dave and Dev. On my job like Dave and Dev. Tell no lie like Dave and Dev. Some days I wanna stay in bed, but I get ready for the day ahead. I wanna complain, but I pray instead. Then I'm on my way to the Dave and Dev. And it go like, I don't need a crew. Don't play by he say, she say rules. Complain, no, we can't do. I'd rather have faith while G-O-D make moves. So please stay cool. All I do is speak the truth on things I see they do. I'm a sinner myself, no lie, I need grace too. We lit like EKU, yeah. Hey, good morning, Devin. How's it going, man?
It's going well. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing good, man. Excited to be back on the podcast again for another one. My yes, best DJ sir. Khaled voice.
Yeah, man. How's life?
It's good, man. It's good. Just wrapping up some summer stuff. I'm DJing on the side, so it's been fun. A lot of events this summer, and which really it doesn't stop, but it does chill out after like October. So
you really are like DJ Khaled.
Oh man, I'm like DJ Khaled Junior.
Yeah. Hey, for those of you who haven't seen Dave, he does kind of look like DJ Khaled.
There's backstory behind that too, because Sheena actually did not know who DJ Khaled was, and she asked if we were related. The first time I ever sent her a GIF of him.
That's
real life that happened, man. Hashtag never forget. How's everything going your way, man?
Good, man. Just enjoying married life. I got a couple days off before I transition. I'm getting a new job.
Hey, congrats, man.
Yeah, so that'll be
I'm 35. Pumped for you.
Yeah, it's a bittersweet season, but while I'm in this season, I just get to take a couple days off and spend more time with my wife. And then I also coaching a basketball team here, a high school basketball team here this year, which kind of has to do a little something about our topic for today.
I was just about to say the same thing. I was like, man, well, this is right in our wheelhouse right now.
Yeah. So go for it, Dave.
All right, cool. So today we're going to talk a little bit about youth sports and kind of just what our thoughts are in terms of whether or not we should be really pushing kids to play sports so early and such at heavy intervals, and a lot of stuff to unpack. So, Devin, can you talk a little bit about where this kind of like came from, like where this idea came up from?
There was an article on ESPN that came out on July 11th by Baxter Holmes, and the title of the article said, "These kids are ticking time bombs, the threat of youth basketball." It was very interesting. It kind of talked about all the significant injuries that are happening in today's game that weren't happening about 30 years ago. So it was a really interesting article, especially for someone who played youth sports. And I know, Dave, you played a little bit AAU at one point in time in your life. You played football as well. But just something, when we hear about significant injuries, a lot of times we hear about, like, football has been, like, the main a lot of people talk about, you know. So for me, as I was reading this article, I thought about, you know, football players or concussions and things of that nature, whereas I hear a lot of people say, well, my kid will never play football, they'll play basketball. But when you read this article, it's kind of like this guy's reading, you're reading it, and you're kind of like, well, basketball's not the answer either. So, Dave, what did you kind of think about the article?
Yeah, after reading that, you know, there was a lot of interesting stats and just kind of a lot of it talked about how
you know, these kids are getting really worn down, and you know, by the time they get to the NBA, I mean, their bodies are just tanking. So it's kind of impressive to see a lot of guys like LeBron and Steph and these guys that have now been in the league 10 plus years and they're still playing at a really high level, because you're seeing guys in their rookie season have injuries that are caused from overuse. Like, one of the main people that they brought up in the article was Julius Randle. I think they said he played like 19 minutes his rookie season.
Yeah.
And he had tore his, I think he had tore his ACL maybe, but it was caused because he had a stress fracture, and stress fractures are come from overuse. And so it's really interesting to think about, because kids are coming to the league, guys are coming to the league, and their bodies are worn down, and it's this constant like play. And I wonder if, you know, obviously I'm not like super knowledgeable about the human body or anything like that, but it makes me wonder if they're just playing too much too early. Like, I feel like you saw older guys, like older NBA players, you know, maybe like 10, 15, 20 years ago, who they didn't have the big AAU circuit going on. I mean, I know AAU is popular, but it wasn't like it is now. And you saw them have seemingly longer careers. But I will say, now here's the other side of this coin, is that for me, I also feel like the level of parity amongst basketball players, like the fact that there are better basketball players across the board all around, from a skill perspective, I think is attributed to AAU play. But I also think that the injuries are just naturally there. But I think that the amount of games they're playing as kids is what's really killing them, because you see guys like LeBron, who up until 2 years ago, he didn't take a summer off. He played every summer, whether it was in, you know, the Olympics or with Team USA or whatever. And that you see a lot of guys backing out now. But you also see tons of people doing these pro-am runs and, you know, summer runs with Chris Brickley and all those guys. So it's just like, it's kind of interesting to see this shift.
Yeah, you can see. So as I mentioned before, Dave, you played multiple sports. You played basketball, you played track, you did football. I myself was a multiple sport athlete as well in high school. I did football a little bit, but primarily I did track and I did basketball. So for you, when the football season was over, like, you would transition to basketball, correct?
Correct, yeah.
And when that happened, you could be thinking about football, but you were in your basketball season primarily. Yeah. It's not like you were doing football stuff every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the interesting thing that happened in this article is that they talked about the specialization of sports for athletes today. And you kind of hinted on this a little bit, is that the competition level for basketball particularly has gotten so high and it's gotten so competitive that a lot of these, from my experience, coaching, a lot of the kids feel like if they're not playing in the AAU program, then they're falling behind. So you have two kids of your own, and I'm sure you don't care if they play sports or not, but if they were to get into the sporting realm, how do you feel about the specialization of sports, like them just playing one sport?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've heard some good stuff on this, you know, from podcasts, from reading, and I think that there really is value to playing multiple sports. You know, I think that as a parent, you always want to encourage your kids to be the best at whatever they do, right? But that doesn't mean that they only have to do that or only can do that one thing. So I would definitely encourage them to play multiple sports if they're into sports, just because I think that there's so much value. I think that I've read stuff that said that people, that kids that play multiple sports are more flexible. They have less injuries. And I really see the benefit to that. I also learned a lot about myself playing different sports and understanding how I fit into different teams, how I fit into different spaces by, you know, from a personality perspective. So I think that there's just so much benefit to that. And you can still encourage your kids to be the best at whatever season they're in, right? Like, they don't have to be the best basketball player 365 days a year. They can be the best basketball player that they can be, you know, 97 or however long the season is, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think that there's real importance to that. But yeah, I think the other conversation starts with something else, is that, you know, how as parents, you know, now my kids are young. My daughter's 3, my son's nearing 1, but how do we as parents approach that? That's a different question too, because I feel as though a lot of parents, they come into their kids' sports life as, hey, this is my time to coach my kid. This is my time to live kind of vicariously through my kid's success. And so yeah. I think that that's another interesting point that can be brought up in this whole discussion as well.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I was going with this next question. So I see this, and one of the interesting things I read in this is that kids can start playing organized sports as young as 7 years old and all the way up to the age of 18 or 19. And to play just solely basketball, they can get it. Like, if they're playing year-round, they can get probably somewhere close to 1,000 games played, which equates to about 12 NBA seasons.
That's crazy.
For these kids. So these kids are coming in at 18 years old. Let's say they do get a chance to go to college. They play, and then their body's just destroyed. So, I mean, the one guy said in the article, looked like they were like coming to him at 18 years old, like they had played like 7 NBA seasons already, which is ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, you know, like we just mentioned, usually it was the older guys who were getting hurt, and you would see significant injuries. But like now, like I said, the competition level is so high. Basketball is by far the most popular sport for youth in this country. You have, I mean, everybody kind of talks about like hoop dreams. You know, it's kind of interesting. I've seen a lot of people who have a lot of friends who have kids, and they say, "Man, my kid's going to make it to the NBA." They're gonna do this and they're gonna do that. You kind of see already from birth these people living vicariously through their kid, trying to reach that peak that they never were able to attain. So Dave, 2 questions here. It's like a 2-part question, and I kind of know the answer to the first one. So like, do you live vicariously through your kids? Is the first one, and the second one would be, how do you? What kind of measures do you put in your life to make sure that you're not living vicariously to the kids and that they get to live their own lives and make their own dreams come true?
Yeah. So to answer your first question, no, I think that it is an easy trap to fall in though. And this is probably another podcast for another day, but I think we have a serious problem with how we live, elevate our children up in a way that puts them in such a status of near worship. And it's very hard because you love your kids, right? There is something extra special about your children. And obviously, and there should be, but there is a giant line and crossing it is dangerous. And when it goes into this phase, this status that elevates your children so high, that's why you see so many people that become devastated when their kids leave home, they go to college, they get married, these sorts of things. And that's like really hard because there's just it's just hard to confront those feelings that, like, you don't have, like, this kind of control over them anymore, this them being right in your nest, you know? So I think the measures that you have to take in this space are just really checking your heart with how you, you know, interact with them daily, but specifically when it comes to them making decisions. Again, Elena and Micah are so young, but, you know, I really try to anticipate, you know, what things will look like down the road. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my daughter's super smart and she's super outgoing, so I'm sure she'll want to do, you know, different clubs and sports and things like that. But I just want to make sure that, you know, it's something that she wants to do and it's not something that I want to steer her away from or steer her towards. Obviously, I want to protect her as much as I can. I know that. But just in terms of, like, I would love for her to go play in the WNBA. Like, of course, it would be amazing. I would love for her to go play college basketball. But, like, at the same time, like, I want her to be happy and healthy. And that is my main priority. And I hope, you know, that I can disciple her well enough for her to love Jesus. Like, those are my biggest hopes for her life. And I think that that's something that, you know, I prayed for right away. And I think that there's a tendency, especially for males, to feel the, what we're talking about with their sons. And so I prayed for that, you know, when we found out Michael was a boy, I was like, look, like, I pray that I don't have to teach him. I don't feel some need to, you know, show him what being this big, you know, macho man looks like. Like, I just want to love him really well. I think that that's kind of the first step, is just how you, you know, prepare to love your kids and just a way that really kind of stomps out that need to want to lift them up and also the need to feel like you have to live through them in some way.
Yeah, it's got to be hard. And thank you for answering that so honestly. It's just one of those things that it sounds like you just have to guard your heart from day one.
Mm-hmm.
Just about who these kids can be and who they are. So, I mean, I've talked about it, like, you know, obviously I played basketball at a pretty high level.
Yeah.
And my wife, she likes sports, but if you ever get a chance, if anyone ever meets my wife, they would know that, I mean, she's not into sports as much as I was growing up. She's more artistic and she's into music and things like, and crafts and all that, like, on that side of thing. So for me, it's always like, I always check myself. Like, I can find myself, even I know, like, I can hear, like, the misogyny in me saying, man, all I want is sons, like, just be like legs, you know, carry on the torch. And it's just like a hard, but like, no, I don't care. Like, whoever, if I'm blessed enough to have a child, if they do get to, you know, play sports, great. If they become a piano player, like, hopefully they do it the best they can, you know?
Absolutely. So,
it's always tough. And like you said, it's probably tougher for males. Probably because some kind of masculinity thing, fragile masculinity thing that's going on that you see that, for some reason we idolize our kids and we just have to do a better job at not doing that. I mean, you even see in that article, there were people like Kobe Bryant who was talking about his kids. And he even questioned about how much is too much for his kids. I kind of want to go back to the specialization of sport thing. I saw an interesting number in there. It said 36% of high school athletes today specialize in sports, which you would think would be a good thing. They're playing at a much higher level. If you go on Instagram or YouTube any given day, you'll see some high school kid doing some kind of crazy dunk that you didn't think was possible by someone that age. Yeah, I just saw a kid go underneath his legs, like, in a game. Not a dunk contest, like, in the game. Like, What in the world?
What are they feeding these kids? Like that, like, I don't understand.
Exactly. And so, but the article also said that those kids who specialize in sports are 2 to 3 times more likely to get knee or hip injuries, which is incredible to me. Like, yeah. I mean, you saw the, we mentioned Julius Randle, but you saw like Paul George and what was it? Kevin Ware from Louisville a couple of years ago. That was kind of like the first, like, oh, wow, moment to me. Just like, okay. Like, I thought that was just, oh, that's just a freak injury. But then you keep seeing it happen over and over. So, like, I said that was a freak injury. But then, like, maybe, like, a year later, Paul George thing happened. And a couple of years later, like, the Gordon Hayward, like, he broke his leg as well. And, I mean, they're not – it's not just small breaks. They're, like, snapping in half, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just really interesting to see how our sports culture is transforming today. You know, I also read one day that Urban Meyer, when he was at Ohio State, he didn't recruit players who only specialized in one sport. He was more likely to recruit he was more likely to recruit people who played more than one sport.
By the way,
which we're right around the corner from football season, which I'm excited about. But I mean, overall, I'm glad we had a chance to talk about this article. It was just like in the summertime, there's not really things that, like, not really a lot of sports news that comes out. This is something that definitely, like, just wow, like, jumped out to me.
Absolutely. Hey, so I had a question about, like, from your perspective as a coach, like, as somebody that is coaching our, you know, youth, and obviously you're in the high school, the space now, but like, what are your, like, how do you navigate this with your parents, that you know, the players, with the players, with your coaching staff, just in terms of like, what does that look like for you guys to like kind of process through this and understand the importance of this kind of like either specialization or just the rest? I mean, what's just kind of want to get some thoughts on there.
I mean, so we're recording this right now in July. It's the last week of July. I have a basketball workout that I'm going to right after we record this. But I always encourage players to just relax in the summertime and have fun and just be a kid. Where the specialization thing happens a lot more now. You see it a ton. I had a player the other day, actually, he called me and asked me, he's like, we should be doing more. And I've kind of offered him to do less. I said, you're going to overuse your body and you're going to be burnt out. We used to call it getting burnt out, you know? We just thought you're just tired. But now we see those, like, you don't have to be on the grind all the time. So I encourage people just to take a rest. But the parents thing is pretty interesting. You do see a lot of parents living vicariously through their kids to try to make sure that they get to the next level. Everybody wants to be a D1 athlete. But I don't think everyone knows what it takes to become a D1 athlete. There's just the mentality difference that I've noticed for, like, the kids who want to be D1 athletes and the kids who are D1 athletes is completely different mentality. I always go back to this small story that I say is when I got to college, that was in like the height of the recession in the Northeast, like Midwest, Northeast area. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, I only had one parent that was working at the time. Our family was really struggling. Like, I had to get a scholarship to go to college at that point. All right. So, like, I thought, like, I was hungry because I had a reason to play. Like, I had my why, you know. But when I got to college, I met people who had more of a hunger than I even had when I was at school. Like, I had teammates who came from Flint who they couldn't go back home because they didn't have clean water.
Yeah, they couldn't even go.
Exactly. So you thought, like, in one sense, like, you thought you were struggling, in which I had a little bit of a struggle. But in the grand scheme of things, Flint still doesn't have water today. I talked to a teammate, and he said, I haven't been back home. I don't know what it's like anymore. You know, I can't go back home. And so that's why, and he's playing overseas now, and I'm so thankful that it worked out for him. But just that hunger, and maybe that goes into it a little bit, why these people want to specialize and they want to make it out of their situations. And to that, like, I understand. But it's almost like you're killing yourself to do these things. And as a coach, how much is too much? Like, I want to push players, but how much is, okay, maybe I'm pushing them a little bit too far. Like, I don't know. It's something that's always on the back of my head. I always tell my teams too, I really don't put a lot of expectations on people except for the seniors. And that's what I push them a lot, because they're the ones that are leaving. So before then, I mean, you know, when you're a senior in a sport, you're going to try as hard as you can to get to where you got to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I want people to work hard. I want them to do the best they can and come into practices the best shape of their life and to work as hard as they can. But it's that senior who has that hunger. Like as a coach, I'll meet that hunger to where they're at. But as like a junior, sophomore, and freshman, like, I'm glad that you're hungry, but let's try to reel that back a little bit, because I don't want these significant injuries. Because I mean, you're doing damage to your body. You can't. Basketball's, I mean, it's not the most physical sport, but it is a physical sport at the end of the day. So they are taking a toll on their bodies after they get done with these things, you know? And so as a coach, it's kind of hard to balance, like, players who say they want it, you know, and parents who want to live through their kids, and it's evident that these parents want to live through their kids, because that's everything that they have. They
for sure.
And I listened to a podcast the other day, which was really cool. That it was from a player development coach. He did it for youth, and he taught people skills and went through drills. He said in 1 hour that he got 10 times more reps of practicing on drills, shooting and dribbling with the left hand, defensive slides, all that jazz, than he would have in an AAU practice or an AAU game. So I'm not dogging AAU, because I played AAU, but there is a danger when it comes to AAU we have to be aware of.
For sure. I definitely think that there's just so much wear and tear with the constant games. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I mean, when you go to AAU tournaments, there's probably days where you play two games in a day or three games in a day.
My team would
come
do
out
that.
Of a week and play in like 10 games, you know?
Exactly. So we would – so my team I play for – so I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. So check this out. My team – we were from – when I played at like an elite level AAU team, they were based out of Pittsburgh, so kids were coming from everywhere. So as soon as I got to Pittsburgh, and I had kids on my team from everywhere, like North Carolina, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, you know, Cleveland, all these different places. So as soon as we got there, so if we play a tournament out of town. So let's say I had to drive to like North Carolina one weekend, so I would go in my car, we pack up, we drive to North Carolina from like Cleveland, Ohio. It's about like a 10-hour drive to get down to certain parts of North Carolina. We would rest on Friday. We play three games on Saturday, come back. Depending on how you did on that Saturday, you could play three more games on that Sunday. So you play six games in 2 days.
Dang, that's crazy.
And you drive right back on Sunday. And you go back to doing whatever kind of grind you were doing before. So it never stops. You never really give your body a rest.
Yeah.
It's wild. It's a wild culture that we have now. And I forget how many games that we played and what we did, but it's pretty crazy to me.
That's interesting. That's really, you know, it makes you think about how important it is to make sure your kids rest, to, you know, especially as, like I said, I don't know this all specifically, but I understand that, you know, the brain takes time to develop and how vital that is to, you know, their psyche and things like that. So at a young age, this like continual grind of how important it is to, hey, let's, you know, slow down. Like, you don't have to play, you know, you don't have to play basketball twice in 1 year. You can play one season and be okay. Let's pick this season and go from there.
You know, and even as a believer, I've seen pastors' kids who will miss church on Sunday because his kid is in an AAU basketball tournament.
Yeah.
Madden. It kind of shows you like what's truly important in your life. I was part of this culture, and now that I'm older, I realized like if I was in that situation, I'm giving out hypotheticals here because I'm not in the situation, but I would rather go. It's more important for me to go lay this foundation of who Jesus is than it is for me to lay a foundation of being an NBA player.
Absolutely.
Which less than 1% of these kids are going to be NBA players anyway.
Yeah. The numbers, the statistics are staggering. And not that your kid couldn't be inside the good part of the statistic, but it's just like how, you know, you got to think long term. You know, I've said it on this podcast before. I've said it in person before. Like, you know, I will not encourage my son to play football. I mean, I played for 6 years, and I mean, my body took a beating in that time. So these guys that play 10, 15, 20, 30 years over the course of, you know, youth football and a 5, 6, 7, 8 year NFL career, I mean, it's kind of no wonder you're seeing these guys that aren't making it into their 70s. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's sad, but it's true. Just the amount of physical and mental beating that you take playing sports.
Yeah, it is. It's wild, man. And maybe this is for a different podcast, but you can just see. I mean, I remember playing games, and after the games, I could just hardly walk.
Oh, absolutely.
Like the next morning.
So I got hit by a bus.
Yeah. And you're constantly doing that over and over again. And I wouldn't trade my college experience for anything. I love playing college sports. I think it was amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, just, it's kind of scary. Like you know, I'm waking up at 20 years old and I can barely walk in the morning time. Like I'm that sore.
Yeah.
And then you're expected to go out to practice and do it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And as a coach, I understand that expectation. Like that has to be there because, yeah, I mean, you're playing college basketball now, but now we're putting that on high schoolers and even younger.
I was gonna say, and even younger, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, AAU programs start as young as 7 years old. So mm-hmm. kids are playing from 7 all the way to 18 years old. They're playing AAU basketball, and it is wild. And I wonder what bad habits are being picked up, and like from the basketball perspective, that hard are just going to be just so hard to correct by the time they get there. Yeah, these kids are athletic freaks, but what can they dribble with their left hand, you know? Can they do a left hand layup
or for sure. Right,
stuff like that. So I'm sure some of that stuff gets into it, but yeah. It's an interesting topic for sure, just to see kind of the psyche of today's. It kind of just gives a look at the psyche of today's country when it comes to youth culture and youth sports.
For sure.
We almost treat them like machines rather than they are humans.
Absolutely. And then you like wonder why they're gassed by the time they get to college. Like,
yeah. It's just sad. I mean, you just notice that basketball becomes an idol to a lot of people.
Hey, listen, ball ain't always life.
I know. We joke around about that a lot, but and you see people, they really take it that seriously. Yep. Like once AAU season starts, I don't see some kids at church until September or August.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So I think I would just encourage people, kind of the things that you said in this podcast, is just really pray the heart, not idolize their kid. Mm-hmm. You definitely want to push your kid to be the best that they can be, but at the end of the day, the best that they can be is not you living through them. At some point in time, they have to learn to want these things for themselves, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Man. For sure, man. Good stuff.
That was a good one. I like that one.
All right, man. Well, hey, listen. Until next time, peace.
All right. Peace.